I tell you, it's so good to see all of you here and to be at the Grace Conference. 15 years. That's hard to believe. Hard to believe. Isn't that a book that somebody wrote? Hard to believe. But it is easy to believe the gospel. It's hard to believe that he's still in the business. I will not say his name. His initials are John MacArthur. You know, I have, down in Florida, I'm going to an independent Baptist church. The pastor, Randy Ford, I don't know if any of you know him, but he's a great man of God. And he preaches lately in a wheelchair because he's had this terrible foot problem. Someone says, well, how can he do it? I said, well, he's better than 95% of most preachers that can stand. He's really good. He holds my attention. That's not easy to do. If you'd have known me in high school, you'd have said, that's impossible. Now that we're on Trinity, and we don't endorse, you understand all that. And we will not go on their telethons and say, please send money, because I could not do that, and my son cannot do that. But we're so thankful to be, according to Nielsen's, we have 100,000 in the U.S. watch us every Tuesday. 100,000. Around the world, who knows? By far the biggest network in the world, and I thank God for that. I'm just thankful. You know, that was Hyde McHenry that got that loud voice, and I'm glad he's got it because he's got it for God. He started a talk show called Politically Incorrect. That sounds like him. And they gave him the bottom. I mean, there was hardly anybody listening. And it goes all the way to the top in the worst hour you can be on. And now they gave him a Sunday morning one. Politically Incorrect, Hyde McHenry. If you don't like him, call in and argue with him. You know, I'm going to preach a message, and the title is In the Dark of the Night. And I'm going to go into some of the dark of the night. You know, the book I just wrote called Lead, it really talked. I went into all the things I've been through. There were times writing that book I wanted to resign before I even resigned. But the thing is, God all through it. Now, I'm going to go through two kind of maybe messages and try to tie them together. Did you ever have someone, and I know you have, that would come up to you and say, you've got to be sure you're not playing the Holy Spirit? You ever hear anybody ever do that? Raise your hand. All over. I don't want to play the Holy Spirit. And you know, that kind of bugs me to no end. Well, you don't want to play the, friends, I want to tell you a secret. You ready for this? You can't play the Holy Spirit if you tried to play the Holy Spirit. You can't make Jesus Lord. He already is Lord. I get so tired of people. And then you have these churches. And they get people so confused. Do you believe you can be saved 24/7? Do you believe that? Anywhere? Or can you only be saved in a church? Well, you don't believe that, do you? You believe you can be saved. Everyone in this room believes you can be saved anywhere. Let me tell you a story. My pastor, Randy Ford, and he was a boy of 6. And his father leads him to Christ at 6. And he called on the name of the Lord. What does the Bible say you have to be saved? Call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. It's so simple, but no, not for us. We got to make it so hard. So at 18, Preacher Ford goes forward at an evangelistic meeting. There's nothing wrong with that, but he came back and told his dad, he said, Dad, I got saved tonight. His dad. Now, this man understood the gospel. I hope you do. His dad looks at him, says, "Son." And you know, he's 18, but his dad said, "Son, you got saved at 6. Don't you tell me that. You dedicated your life tonight, but you didn't get saved tonight. You got saved at 6. That guy's got the gospel. Now, you all are awful quiet. I didn't get a lot of amens. A lot of you think, oh, no. Listen, the gospel is so simple, but we make it so hard. We confuse people. You know, we were there at the church, and this is a good man that came, and he asked a preacher if he could talk. And you know, this is a good man. He's not a bad man. This man buys candy out of his own pocket, and everybody comes to church. He offers them candy. Now, that's a good man. I mean, he even has Snickers. If you got Snickers, you're a really good man. But he comes up and he says, just out of nowhere, he says, "Well, my sister's been a Sunday school teacher and they're from Kentucky. I'm embarrassed. I can't help it. That's where I'm from. And she got saved. She'd been teaching Sunday school for all these years and got saved. And then everybody in the church thinks they're not saved. Do you all ever do that? Some of you have done that, haven't you? Friends, now that's possible, highly improbable, but possible. She did finally get saved. But friends, we can't be doing that and telling people that the people in our church for 25 years teaching Sunday school, now they're not, they finally got saved, and no one in the church knows you're saved, and you don't need to be a Baptist, you might as well be a crazy costal. Come on. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven, and I might come forward sometime, but not because I'm not going to heaven, because I want to dedicate my life again. But you only get saved once. And here's what's happening, friends. And I say this with all the love in me. And I'm not trying to get some of you mad at me. And listen, I got enough people mad at me. I don't need any more. I get people mad at me for free. I never have to pay people. But I want all of you, when you hear people preach, and so many people in this age that we lived in, they went to churches and the preacher was just mean. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the preacher would just get up and the kids weren't allowed to even breathe or this or that. And then they get older and they don't go to church anymore. Then some that do go to church, they start this Holy Spirit stuff. Now listen. I can do nothing without the Holy Spirit. But, okay, now don't get mad. The Holy Spirit can't do anything without us either. It takes both of us. And when you have someone say, "Well, you're doing the job of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit." No. You know, when we were up at our camp in Minnesota, and we were getting ready to come back, and my first grandchild, Amy, and she says to me, and she looks at me, I think she's 5 or 6. She said, "Papa, when we get back home, our church will be built." We hadn't even got a permit. I said, "Well, how's it going to be built?" She said, "God's going to build it without us." Now, have you ever heard of that ever happening? Has anybody ever got a church built that they didn't build it? Now, could we have built this church without the Holy Spirit? No. But this church wouldn't have been built without people either, right? So when people say, "Well, I don't really preach against sin. I just don't preach against sin. I don't believe in preaching against sin." That's the Holy Spirit's job. Friend, that is baloney. And I'm sick of it. And I said, you know, I've been taking this for 45 years and I'm done with taking it. It's like building this building and our men, and they built this building. And I tell you what, you have never seen anything. Our high school girls put all the outside drive it that puts that beautiful outside look. Our high school girls did that. Wasn't it dangerous? Of course it's dangerous. But the parents were all paying me to make sure they got endangered. But to say, I don't preach against sin, that's the Holy Spirit. That's like saying, don't hit that nail, let the Holy Spirit hit it. It's not going to work, friends. And these churches. Now, a friend of mine, I'm not going to give any hints or anything about where this church is or what. I'm not going to do that. And I mean that. I will not do that. But this lady came up to a preacher friend of mine and says, I'm going to a certain city. Do you know a church? And he said, oh, I know a church. They have the clear gospel. You'll love this guy. I want you to go there. They went, the lady went. She had a place and she's going to be there the whole week. She goes to Sunday school. Not one person spoke to her or welcomed her to that church. Not one person. Sunday morning, preacher gets up and doesn't even hint at a gospel message. No message on the gospel. She goes by and says, preacher, this is what happened. Well, he must have been having a bad week. Maybe his mother-in-law shot him or something, you know. So next year, she went back, went to the same church, Sunday school, no one spoke, and he didn't give the gospel. Did not give the gospel. Because they believe in that church that the Holy Spirit does that. Friends, what in the world? Boy, that'd be the easiest way in the world to get by. You know, preaching's not the hard part. You know, preaching's easy. Maybe not tonight, but most of the time it's easy. Preaching's easy. The hard part is caring about your people. Caring is the hard part. It makes it the hardest job in the world. Now, Dr. Phil Stringer was preaching, and I got to, there was this one Sunday he's preaching, and I was sick and couldn't go to the church, so I was watching live. And he said, I have never flourished more. Now, you saw the accident he's in, that's quite a statement. It's a miracle, and we're going to see, hopefully you'll see the picture tomorrow of the accident he was in. But he said, since I'm not the preacher, I'm flourishing, because the hardest job in the world is to be a preacher. And friend, it is. If you care. Now, if you don't care, it doesn't matter. If I didn't care whether you went out and got drunk every night or you went to every dance in the world and made a fool of yourself, if I didn't care, it'd be the easiest job. But I do care. And when I preach, I expect our people not to do that. And you, all of you, have been coming up and saying, Dr. Scudder, the people here are so good and so kind. The reason is we preach against sin. Amen. And if you don't, you'll have a church, like I just mentioned, that no one will speak to you. I went out one week and I went to John MacArthur's church. Not one person looked at me and said, good to have you in church. Later they found out who I was and they wanted me out of there, but anyway. The Holy Spirit works through us and with us. And without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. But the Holy Spirit is not the excuse not to preach against sin. Okay, now I'm going to prove that by Bible, okay? 2 Corinthians 5:1, 5:11. 2 Corinthians 5:11, it should be, it's up there. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Terror. I'll just let the Holy Spirit do it. We persuade men. Oh no, just let the Holy Spirit do it. But we are made manifest unto God. I trust also you are made manifest in your consciences. To be put in fear is terror. Listen, friends, I preached a lot of messages and I was sweet and lovely, but I preached some messages here that were not so sweet. I have called people out. I have done, and that's why we have this wonderful church. If you have a church of carnality, you will not have a church that loves the Lord. Carnality and love of the Lord cannot be done. It's impossible. And then, you know, have you noticed lately all these famous preachers are cracking up and going to the wayside? Bill Hybels. Wow. You know, right before Bill Hybels, I knew it was coming. I knew all about Bill Hybels. I've talked to Bill Hybels about his issues. It's no surprise to me, but I never went public with it, but I knew all about it. And Bill Hybels is no longer. He didn't believe in preaching against sin. Bill Hybels said publicly, if you want the Bible, go to Quentin Road. If not, stay here. You imagine people go there? What's that all about? But it's the music that's destroying these churches. Now listen, you shouldn't have dead music. And our pastor Randy Ford made this. I thought I'd never heard this. Maybe you have. He said, some of our churches, the music is so slow, people are going backwards. Music is so slow. Well, we don't want slow music. But you better have music that honors the Lord. Now, I shouldn't say this, but I asked Dr. Stringer, I said, why do you think people are so afraid to have me in their churches? He's blunt. He says, because you scutter boys speak the truth. Period. You don't care where it goes, you speak the truth. Well, I did that for 45 years, and that's why we have this wonderful church. If you don't want a wonderful church, don't speak the truth. It'll get you in the dark of the night sometimes. Okay, look at Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have rule over you. You believe that? It says obey them. Doesn't say let the Holy Spirit do it and submit yourself so they watch for your souls. They must give an account. They must do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Preach with expectations. Just preach with expectations. You know, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done when I gave up the head of this church. It was hard. I said, why did you do it? You know, I've never heard God audibly ever speak to me, but he speaks to me, you know? And God was speaking to me, and he said, I want you to retire. I was sitting out. We had a house right by the ocean, and it was beautiful. And I'm saying, well, Lord, I don't really want to. But I knew he wanted me to resign. I had a good, you know, 2 or 3 days left, you know. That's supposed to be funny. But God wanted me to do it. And I knew my son would do a great job. What I didn't know is that he was going to do a greater job than I even thought he could do. Man, when I heard him last night, I said he couldn't have come from my family. They were all saying it must have been from your wife's family. I guess it must have been. It couldn't have been my family. We're not that smart in our family. I don't know. And then James McDonald goes down. You know, I told, he came up to me once at the religious broadcasters, and he said, Pastor Scudder, do you think my music is wicked? I said, well, I wouldn't have said it unless you asked, but yes, your music is wicked. And your music will lead you into every other vice. They caught him gambling with his church board. Isn't that an exciting board to have in Vegas? Blackjack? I don't even know. Listen, I was raised with a fundamentalist Methodist preacher, and I don't know what any of that stuff is. I really don't. I know it's gambling. But he's gone. The one that so many worship, Bill Gothard's gone. He told you couldn't kiss your fiance till you got married, but he was able to kiss all the secretaries. It's okay for him to kiss secretaries, but you can't kiss your fiance, I guess. Friends, there's only one way. Only one way. Period. To grow in Christ. It's not by going to all these places and all these seminars and getting on this new rage and that new rage. Preach the word. Here a little, there a little. In season, out of season, just preach the word. No secrets. And you know this church, I figured I preached over 8,000 different messages here. You know, some of our people, now I'm not trying to put down anybody, but if you listen to that many messages, even from someone that's not that good, you're going to know more Bible than most cemetery graduates, I mean seminarians. So here's old Bill Gothard. Kissing his secretaries. Isn't that exciting? Crazy. I could go on naming names, but I think I've done enough. Poor old Bill Hybels, he came here for Art Rohrhan's funeral. And everybody, you know Bill Hybels is here? Well, of course I knew he's here, but it didn't faze me any. I said, do you know Bill Hybels is here? I said, do you know I'm here? Second Timothy 4:2-5. Now listen. Get that. Now, you can do nothing without the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit can do nothing without you. Now, when I say nothing, I'm talking about in the realm of a church. I'm not talking about he can't do anything. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Do you get that? There was once a, this is a weird situation in the Southwest. One of our preachers, I was just talking to his wife, Aaron Moore, and I said, Aaron, what can you tell me about your husband that he's done lately? Well, this is pretty good, Dr. Scudder. You want me to share something? Yeah, I do, because I'm one joke short tonight. And they were going to go up and take a hike up in the mountains, and she was scared to death about grizzly bears. She was really scared about grizzlies. But he said, oh, honey, you're being a cry. I called her everything, crybaby, whatever. And they're going up, and they got their kids, and they're walking this hike, and she looks over, and she says, there's some animals over there. He said, oh, they're just deer, probably fawns. And he looks, and there's a grizzly with two sows. He took off running. He got up the first tree, and when he got to the top of the tree, hollers down to his wife and kids, you guys better run, you're going to get eaten. Now, there might be a slight embellishment in that, but not too much. But there was, in that same area, there was a redhead and a blonde lady, and they were raising cattle, and that's pretty unusual for women to raise cattle without any, and they were going to prove that they could do it. And they had two bulls, but they both got killed by grizzlies. You know, grizzlies are rough. Too bad they didn't get Mark. And they were just horrified, and they had to get a bull. Well, they only had $500 left, all they had. And the redhead said, well, I'll go get us a bull. I can talk to anybody. I'll get us one for $500. And she goes, and she gets a bull, $499. She got a bull. And she was so excited. So she goes to the telegraph office, had $1 left. And the telegraph says, what's a dollar a word? How are you going to be able to get her to know to come to get the bull? She thought a while, you know, being redheaded, she's pretty smart. And mean and angry, but smart. Now, Robin, I wasn't referring to you. So she had one word, and she said, I want you to send one word. Comfortable. She'll say it so slow, she'll say, come for the bull. Now, I'm not against blondes. Don't get upset. I'm from Kentucky, and they call me hillbilly. If I can take hillbilly, you can take that. You don't want High McHenry's telling it. It'd be way worse than I did. In the dark of the night, I'm going to give you... Now, I've been through a lot of things this 45 years here. I mean, a lot of things. Hard things. I'm not saying I've been through more than you have. Many of you have been through hard times. But I've been through some hard times, and there's one psalm, many of the psalms. I lived in the psalms. I shared that at our camp, and I said, I've lived in the Psalms. And you can look at my Bible, and you can see the middle of it. It's just worn out in the middle of my Bible. Well, these kids, you know, they don't let you say something you can't prove. The kids came up to me and says, Pastor, can you show me your Bible? I said, yes, I will. And they looked. And they looked around. They said, he's telling the truth, guys. It's worn out. I like that, don't you? I do. I like that. Wow. Well, you know, I've had some really hard times. I happened to have a man that was so wicked that was here that, and when he was here, constantly we would have DCFS come and talk to us and say, we've had this report and that report. And couldn't prove anything, but we got suspicious. It's just unprovable. But he took it upon himself to try to destroy me. He thought that I knew that he was guilty, which I didn't. So he thought, well, if I get enough on him, I can destroy him. And that's what he was, honestly, that's what he was trying to do, is to destroy me. And he worked so hard. When we were getting ready to get this building done, get the permit, he called one of the ladies that was chairman of the board and told her, I don't know exactly what he told her, but what he told her, they thought that he said that we had built a basement underneath our other connecting building here. Hand dug it without a permit. I mean, hand dug it. I mean, if you could do that, you should get an award. And the board from this town here came by, and we didn't know what was going on. And they were doing this inspection. We're thinking, well, we already got, what's going on? And they were crawling on my floor trying to see if there's a... I'm not kidding. These are grown-ups. One of them was an attorney. Boy, I never used him. And they were going all around, and the electrician, he said, I heard him say, you guys are a bunch of idiots. You're idiots. So I'm going, idiots, what are they doing? So they went up to a lady and said, where do y'all go when you have a tornado? And she's just a jokester. She said, to our basement. And this guy, he just did everything. One time, we had a family came, and I told the mom, I don't want to take your daughter. She'll become a dedicated church person, and you'll be mad at me. They kept begging and kept begging. Anyway, this guy gets on there and starts telling her all this lies about us. So they bring in this cult person to try to get this girl out of our school. Now, I didn't want to take her to start with. And they lined up, you know, and I remember, some of you don't understand this because you haven't been anywhere for 45 years. But when you've been someone 45 years, you lose a family a year, that's 45 families. You understand what I'm saying? I had a lot of enemies. So she lined up all these people that have left our church to testify. Now, it wasn't a court thing. I don't know what it would have done if she'd have got them. And they were going to come and testify against me. You know how many of them, the day of it, how many of them showed up? None. Because they couldn't testify against me. Because they knew it was all a bunch of lies. They can talk it, but they couldn't do it. And this guy worked and worked and worked. And he goes down to another state, and we're hearing that he's doing the same thing in the other state. And I would go to this Psalm 64 for my comfort. 64:1. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from the fear of the enemy. It can be so fearful. Honestly, you could lose your life. You say, I'm not that way. Oh, yes, you are. Have you ever had people act like, you tell them, say, you know, a guy comes up, I just lost my job. Romans 8:28, still in the Bible. Well, it is in the Bible. But he just lost his job, and he doesn't know how he's going to pay his mortgage. Don't do it that way. Just say, oh, I'm so sorry. Man, I don't know how I'd handle it if it was me. Don't say something stupid like that, because the next week you lose your job. And someone says, Romans 8:28, still in the Bible, and you punch him in the jaw. And this guy was going around telling people that I tried to get everybody in the church to divorce. Now, that'd be a great preacher, right? But I didn't know what he was telling, you know. And people said, well, I can't tell you, but if you really knew what I knew, I can't tell you. But if you knew what I knew, I can't tell you. Listen, don't let people do that. Make them tell you. If they can't tell you, they don't want to tell you because they know they're stupid. And one time he got this book, and it was some church up in the Twin Cities, and this preacher wrote a book that if people are unified in your church, you're a cult. What? If you're unified. Bible says to be unified. So you know what I did? I bought 100 of the books, and they were passing them around secretly, you know. And I bought 100 of them. I said, I'm giving away 100 books that they're hiding from you. don't want you to read because they think I wouldn't like it. That's the end of that. See, we don't have to hide. But in the dark of the night, sometimes we just don't know. In verse 3, who wet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. Notice one tongue, but many arrows. And they would just want to do. Now, here's the thing. During all this, the dark of the night, and I've had some dark nights. I had a night I was so upset. My daughter came in and I was on my knees just sobbing, crying. What's wrong, Daddy? I couldn't even tell her I was so upset. And it's not easy. And they shoot. In verse 4, they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. Oh, they don't fear. You say, well, did you fear? Of course I feared. Well, aren't you a dedicated Christian that believes the Bible and that God? I do believe all that. And God did take care of me. And that time that I was sobbing and my daughter couldn't console me, that very night God came and consoled me. And it's like he put his arms around me and I was totally healed. I had no more fear. I'm not kidding. I wasn't afraid of anything. They may shoot in secret at the perfect, at the mature. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not in the dark of the night. Man, I tell you, but this psalm here encouraged me and encouraged me. Now, they all encouraged me, but this one particularly. Psalm 64. Let's look at verse 5. They encourage themselves in an evil manner. They commune of laying snares privately. They say, who shall see them? And boy, I tell you, I felt it. I felt it. My church felt it. But you know, this same guy sent out a letter to everybody in our church telling all these lies and saying, why did I pick so-and-so to be a song leader then pick someone else to be a song leader? They didn't say I did anything, but why did I? Isn't that amazing? Song leaders, you got to, I tell you, when you hear that your preacher did something, you stand by your preacher. Because he's not allowed to tell you everything he knows. Who shall see them? They search out iniquities. Accomplish a diligent service. Inward thought of every one of them, the heart, it's deep. It's deep. The dark of the night. But now this is when I started getting encouraged. Psalm 64:7. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded. Friends, I'm not saying this that I know that God did this, but the man that did all that to me, I get a thing one Sunday morning and he's been arrested for the most hideous things the world could ever imagine. And he will never come out of jail. They say, well, you should pray for, I do. I pray that he'll never get out of jail. And if you want, now listen, I have enemies. I pray for them to be healed and protected, but not someone as wicked as this guy. Not because what he did to me, but what he did to these poor little girls. Suddenly they'll be wounded. He got put in jail. He's still in jail. And all those people that followed him, that believed I was making all this stuff up about him, they've been awful silent. Silent as golden. Now, I'm not going to sing. Don't get nervous. Verse 8, they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. And this guy's been putting stuff on the internet and saying, can you send some money? Can you send some money? Can you? No one has even replied because no one wants to be associated with this guy. And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doing. Now, friends, why did I say this tonight? Why would I don't have to get up and say this, and let you know that I went through a lot. A lot of you have been through a lot. Some of you have been through more. Some of you may have lost a child, and that would be way worse than what I've been through. I'm not saying, I'll say this. Every word of the Word of God is true. And I tell you what. Every time a new thing comes out in the papers, oh, they crucified him. He's one of the most wicked men that ever existed on this earth, and he happened to be the man that took me on. But he couldn't hurt me. He tried, but he couldn't hurt me because my God took care of me. And he will take care of you. Now, you may be going through a terrible thing, and maybe God is leading you to move. I'm not saying he doesn't, but don't ever think they're going to win. Because they're not. They're not going to win. Just don't. And listen, preachers, this is all in my book. And this will really help you, really will. I go through all way more than this. But tell your people what's going on. Don't be afraid to talk to your people. Every time something happened, I'd have a church meeting, and that letter they put, I read the letter to the church because I had nothing to hide. Now, if you're an adulterer, you better not do that. You just quit and leave and go get out of the ministry. Or if you're doing porn, you're going to get caught. There's no one that's ever done porn that didn't get caught. You understand? So get out. But God's going to take care of you. And I tell you, I'm blessed. My son's doing so good here. And my son-in-law and my daughter's doing so good at Chi-Lai in Ohio. They have a church out in the country, and they're getting more and more people coming all the time. Just a blessing. Just a blessing. I'm so proud. I have 4 grandkids, 3 granddaughters, and a grandson, and they're all 4 serving. And I have 4 great grandkids, which are even better than the grandkids. Charlie's right around 18 months, and he's winning souls. The girls are all winning souls. No, they're not winning souls. But they're going to serve too. You know why? If you have a separated church, people will serve. If you let people live and you say, I'm not going to do it, it's the Holy Spirit's job. Well, you might as well give up. That's why the churches, only a few percentage ever serve God. About 85% of our kids serve Christ. Not all. I wish they all did. And we've had some parents that did great jobs, and their kids decided they didn't want to serve. I'm not judging. I'm not blaming. Some of you have got situations that are hard. It's not easy. I'm not judging or blaming. But I can tell you this. When you're going and you're in the dark of the night, the brighter the light. And God will protect you. I've had him, like I said, put his arms around me and said, you're going to be okay. Verse 10, the righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the right in heart shall glory. Isn't that good news? Is that good news? Yeah, man. And this guy, he's in jail. They have him in a cell with 8 people. And you know what they do to molesters? Boy, you say, well, don't you feel? No, I don't feel sorry for a guy that does that. If you do, you've got an issue. Don't you come up to me and say, I feel sorry for him, because you're a liar. Because you can't feel sorry for a guy that does that. One county, they have 12 different girls. He's 3 counties. Wicked. But God is blessed. I've got great grandkids. Isn't it great to have great grandkids? You know, they've got some great granddaddies, and there's two other granddaddies here. Pastor Fontana and Joe Sortman and my son. But they've only got in this church one great granddaddy. Though the word great. And it's biblical, inspirational, sweet. And I tell you, they are the sweetest kids. I just love them. I'd give my life for any of them. I'd give my life for my grandkids. How about your kids? Well, that's another story. We love our, and I tell you, I'm so proud. And I don't know, those of you who heard last night, have you ever had a message like that? Wasn't that amazing? Wow. Well, I'm done. I know you knew I was done before I started. I said, man, if anybody's done, that guy's done. But I preached this, and maybe I shouldn't have. Maybe I don't think I'll regret it. But I did it because maybe several of you are ready to quit, and you don't now. You don't now. I want you to support Dayspring Bible College. I guarantee you something. They will leave Dayspring thinking you're the smartest man on earth. I'd send them to colleges, and they'd come back, and they'd think that we were the dumbest people that ever lived after one semester. They knew more than we knew. They don't get that here. They get that the smartest person there is their pastor. And they'll be taught that. And they'll come back loving you, not hating you, not thinking that you're a doofus. Even if you are, they won't think it. Well, God bless all of you, and my son's going to come. If you have never trusted Christ, it's possible someone here hasn't. Just believe it's all by grace, apart from any works. And the moment he that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Isn't that good? That's really good. Isn't that good? Yes. And I want you all to get your messages straight. Don't confuse everybody. If you have a Sunday school teacher after 55 years get saved, you just resign the ministry because you didn't do much of a job. Right? Just don't let that happen. Thank you so much. God bless.